Ladies and Chris Santo. You know, we have a number of guests with us today, and we always open our doors and welcome our guests with us. We're glad you're here. But I know what it's like being a guest in a new church you haven't been to before, and you don't know what to expect. It reminds me of the story of a family that went and visited a church. There was a little boy with them. And in the foyer of this church, they had a list of names up on the wall. And this list of names, the boy was just taking a look at and very curious. And he asked what this list was for. And one elderly gentleman came up and said, "Well, son, that list is the list of men who died in the service." The boy looked quite worried and scared. And said, "Is that the 9:30 service or the 5 o'clock service?" Well, I hope that nobody dies in our service this morning. You know, our vision as a church is transforming lives through Christ's message of forgiveness, purpose, and hope. Transforming lives. And too often, I think the church presents anything but transformed lives. That's a shame. The first statement of our vision is that we're to be a church of life, where the church reflects the abundant life Christ spoke of. A life of joy, peace, and freedom. We are never to be a church of religious rituals, traditions, and rules, but a place where real people are truly transformed by the goodness of Christ. That's what it's about. Real people being truly transformed by the goodness of Christ. Now this morning my focus is on prayers. In particular, the message is titled, "Why Aren't My Prayers Answered?" I want a real relationship with Christ. I want a genuine relationship with Christ. And maybe if you've been a Christian any length of time, you've perhaps heard some people say, "You know, I've tried prayer. I tried it. I prayed about this, and it just didn't work. It didn't work for me." And maybe you yourself have thought the same thing. "I've tried prayer. There was something that was really important to me. And I thought, well, I go to God in prayer, and the Bible says if I just pray, He'll do it, and it didn't work for me." Well, the first question I want to ask is, does God promise to answer everyone's prayer? Does God promise to answer anyone's prayer? And I want to start by saying, no, that's not the promise. It's very clear that in Scripture there are some things that take place in people's lives in which He ignores our prayers. Do you understand that? So now that we got that out in the open, let's explain ourselves. I want us to look at some conditions. There are some conditions to answered prayer in the Bible. Today we're going to look at 5 conditions to answered prayer. Now you're here today and there's things in your life and they're very important to you. And you want to pray about them and you want God's direction, you want God's leadership in your life. That's why you're here today, I believe. If you're a guest with us today, I believe that's why you're here. You see that there has to be something more to life than what you've experienced. There has to be something more to life than being born, breathing, living, going to work, coming home, flicking the remote control, waking up and doing it all over again until you die. Amen? Okay, there's a few people. So I want you to ask yourself 5 questions. 5 questions this morning for answered prayer. The first question is this: do I have a genuine relationship with God? Do I have a genuine relationship with God? Ask yourself this question. Do you? John 15:7, Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." In other words, he's saying, if you have a genuine relationship with me, if there's something back and forth, a relationship. Again, I've said this many times, so many people in the world or even in the church have this idea of God, that God is the vending machine. You just go put your money in, push a button, and He gives you what you want. Or God is a genie. You rub the genie bottle, you say your prayers, and you expect to receive. But He says there's something more to it than that. It's about a relationship. That's different than the vending machine. That's different than the genie. It's a relationship. If you have a genuine relationship with me, how do you remain in Christ? The sentence tells us here, by His words remaining in you as well. That's a relationship. That's communication going on. Then we will be in Christ. We will be abiding in Him. So God requires first that we listen to Him, and then He also listens to us again. Two-way communication, a genuine relationship. Sometimes us fellas are terrible at genuine relationships. Do I hear amen, ladies? Sometimes us fellas are terrible. You guys know what I'm talking about. Jen has sometime a lot of things to say to me. And I have come home before and she wants to tell me all about her day. Remember, on average, men speak, what, how many words a day? 10,000 words? Women speak generally 20,000 words a day. Okay? Us guys have used up all our words during work. We only have a few left. We just want yes and no answers when we get home. Ladies have another 10,000 to go, and they want to talk about the day. They want to communicate. They want you to communicate back with them. And so I'm home, and Jennifer's talking to me. She's telling me everything, all the details of everything. And I'm just thinking in my mind, what's for dinner? Let me give you a tip, ladies. Feed the man first. And then talk about the problems. We don't want to hear problems until we're happy and fed. And then Jennifer says, fix your own dinner. Why? Why? Because she wants a relationship. She wants to know I care about what she has to say as well. Not just, you know, I want her to listen to me. The starting point is, do I have a genuine relationship with God? How do we have that? Through His Word. Through His Word. I'm not asking you if you've had some kind of fancy experience with God. Listen, I'm not asking you if you've had an experience with God. Don't base a relationship with God on some unique, interesting experience. I recall a few years ago on Shortland Street, they had this. I don't watch Shortland Street. I want you to know that. Not even interested. But I saw some previews of Shortland Street, and this person supposedly was supposed to have been born again, found God. And I caught glimpses here that they found God while bungee jumping, and they just had this great sensation just before they jumped, and all this tingly feeling, and then they jumped over the edge, and they found God. Listen, God says, abide in my word. Abide in my word. Some people base their whole relationship with God based on, you know, they had their arm healed or something. And don't get me wrong, I believe God can take care of things like this. But if you're basing your relationship based on some experience like your arm being healed or on bungee jumping, that's nothing if it doesn't have the basis of knowing God through His Word. We first know God through God's Word. You want to have a genuine relationship with God? Get genuinely into Him, into His Word. Anything else, apart from what Christ did for you, is based wrongly. If you're basing your salvation, your relationship with God, on anything else but what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you on the cross, you're basing it on something wrong. That's why at our church we believe Bible study is important. We believe it's important to study the Bible. If you remain if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So we want to know His words. We want to study. We have our 5 o'clock time. That's our family time where we gather around the Word and we study. We want to know God better. We want you to know God better. We want His words to abide and remain in you. So are you saying, you know, maybe you're saying, Ken, are you saying, if I don't know God's Word, that I won't have my prayers answered? I'm not necessarily saying that. But I am saying that your prayer life is never going to be more effective than how well you understand God, how well you understand Scripture. Your prayer life is not going to be more effective than how well you know Him and understand Him. 3 questions on how to evaluate if you have a genuine relationship with God. 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So the question that you need to ask is, do I have or have I refused to admit things that I have done wrong in the past? Have I refused to own up? The Bible calls this unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Through confession, through admitting, yes, I'm a sinner, I've blown it, I've screwed up, I can do nothing about it, Christ is then able to take us and apply His work on the cross to us and say, you're covered. I will cover it for you. I will cover it for you. And we become born again. We come into God's family. In Christ, we are children of God. It's like when a kid comes up to me and asks me to take care of him. Comes knocking on my door and says, hey, can I come and eat with you guys? You got any extra clothes for me to wear? What am I going to say? I'm going to say, where's your mom and dad? Where's your mom and dad? In the same way, though, when we come to God through Christ, we are born again. We are into His family. We are His children. He hears us. He knows us. We are part of the family. What do? Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Confession. What is confession? It's simply being honest with God. It's simply stopping lying to yourselves and being honest with God and telling Him what He already realizes, but you have failed to confess. Second question in regards to do you have a genuine relationship with God? Am I currently, in the present, ignoring any of God's principles? In other words, when God tells me to do something, or when I know I'm holding on to something that I know God wants me to let go of, and I continue to hold on to it, that breaks the prayer chain between me and God. It breaks the prayer chain. In 1 John 3, we read, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. We have confidence because we're walking with Him. We are not violating the principles that He's given to us. Now maybe you're sitting there saying, how on earth can I keep all of God's commands? How on earth can I do that? I can't possibly be perfect. And I'm going to tell you that I don't think God expects perfection, but He does expect obedience. Let me put it this way. My young Jenna, 5-year-old girl, mom and dad say, Jenna, go to your room and clean it up. Tidy it up. 30 minutes later, we go in and we see she's made an attempt to straighten it up. Her bed's kind of made, but it has wrinkles all in it. The sheets are hanging down the side. Her toys are put away, but there's still some out here and there. What do? Do we get on to her and say, that's just not good enough? That's not perfect. That's not what I had in mind. No. because we understand she's 5 years old and she is obeying as much as a 5-year old can obey. Amen? She is obeying. However, if we said, Jenna, we want you to clean up your room, and 30 minutes later we see she's still in front of the PlayStation. That's a different story, isn't it? It's a different story. We're not expecting perfection. We are expecting obedience, and obedience begins here. Obedience begins in the heart. It's a heart that's willing to say, God, I want to follow you. God, I want to do things your way. I am endeavoring to follow your principles. I'm going to apply them as I know them. How do I know them? Through this. Through God's Word. You're not in God's Word. You're missing out. You're missing out. It's a heart that says, I want to do right. Third question. Do I really want God's will for my life? Do I really want God's will? 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. When we ask according to God's will, then we have confidence in prayer and we know He's going to answer. I think most Christians make a very big mistake when it comes to praying with God. God, is it your will that I ask for this over every little item? God, is it your will that I get a blue Honda or an orange Kia? God, what is your will? The real issue is not, God, what is your will regarding this specific circumstance? But the issue is, am I in God's will as a person? Am I in God's will as a person? If my life is in harmony with God, if I am in God's will as a person and I'm in obedience to Him and I'm seeking Him and my life is being conformed into the image of a son, and each day I'm becoming more Christ-like, and each day I desire and seek to know God more and to love Him better than I did yesterday, then the things that I am going to be asking for are in God's will. You see the connection there. My focus is on myself being in God's will, not every little issue that creeps up. Am I in God's will? One of the early church fathers, St. Augustine, said this, love God and do what you please. Love God and do what you please. What he was saying here is, if you really love God with all your heart, what you want to do is going to be what pleases Him. Love God first, and then do what you please. So how do you know the answer to this question? Do I really want God's will for my life? How do you know if you really want it? Pretty simple. How eager are you to know God's Word? How eager are you to know Him? How eager are you to grow and to learn? So the first question in regards to having my prayers answered is simply, do I have an honest, a genuine relationship with God? And the second question now, do I have a forgiving attitude towards others? Mark 11:24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. You know, all through the Bible, we see a connection here with prayer and forgiveness. Prayer and forgiveness. When the Lord's Prayer. What's in that prayer? Forgive us? What? As we forgive others. Is that a prayer you really want to pray? God, forgive us just as much as I forgive everybody around me. Is that your prayer? It's a prerequisite to having prayers answered. Being able to truly forgive others. In Matthew 5, Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount. And He's talking there about somebody going up to the temple and bringing an offering, a gift to God. And He told them, If you come and you bring a gift to God, and there, as you're giving, you remember, I have something against a brother. What was the answer? What did he say to do? Leave it. Stop what you're doing. Go. Be reconciled. And then come again. And then give your gift. Why? Because relationships are premium importance to God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. This is the first and greatest. But the second is like unto it. Love. Maybe we don't know that one as well. We here want to worship God, but we don't want to talk to the person next to us. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. God says you can't love God and hate your brother. You can't love God and hate your brother. God is love. In Him, there is no darkness. There's no room for that. In the Christian life, you have God living in you. There's no room for hatred in you. When you see how much God has forgiven you, you must extend forgiveness. Hebrews 12:15. See that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitterness is like a poison and it will eat you alive. You can't have unforgiveness working in your heart and have your prayers answered. It's that simple. You can't have unforgiveness in your heart and still expect your prayers to be answered. Another side note, gentlemen, 1 Peter 3. Peter's talking about marriage. He says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with all the ladies, respect. Treat your wives with respect so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Wow. You know what? If I have a fight with Jen, my prayers are hindered. My prayers are hindered. I can't go to God and say, God, forget what she's saying and doing. I don't care about her. But God, I really need you in my life. I need your will to be done. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. My prayers are hindered. There's a block there. God says first, go and make it right with her. Go make it right with her. The third question, why aren't my prayers getting answered? Question to ask yourself, am I willing to share the results? Am I willing to share the results? There's a principle. What you sow, you reap. Give, it will be given unto you. The principle is generosity. Proverbs 21:13 also says, if a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. Shut your ears up to others. You're not going to be answered. It's a fact of life. God says if you pay no attention to other people's legitimate needs, why should He pay attention to your needs? He wants us to be like Him. 1 John 3:22, and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands, do what pleases Him. What are His commands? And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. He'll hear our prayers. He'll do these things for us if we keep His commands. One of those commands is to love one another as He's commanded us to do that. He says one of the ways we keep His commands is by loving other people. Loving other people. I want to ask you a question. The prayers that you want God to answer, you got to ask yourself, what would you do if God answered them the way you want? You say, God, bless my business. Help it to be profitable. Help me to make lots of money. God wants to know why. Are you willing to share that? What are you going to do with the blessings that He pours out on you? You say, God, I want to have good health. Will you take away my sickness and just restore it? Why? What are you going to do with that healthy body? Are you going to be selfish with it? Or are you going to be giving with it? In James 4, we see James telling people that you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. This is the problem. He's saying motive is more important than prayer. Why you pray is more important than what you pray for. What are you going to do with what God has blessed you? Does that mean that you can't ask for things for yourself? I don't think that's necessarily what it's saying. Part of the Lord's prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. That's pretty practical and that's pretty specific. Lord, give us some food today. We need food on the table. And there's nothing wrong with praying that. But still, the question is, are you willing to share that? If God pours out and blesses you and dumps a whole load of bread on you, are you willing to say, hey, I can share some of this bread? I can share some of this bread with others. I was challenged with a video that some of us have seen recently. You guys remember when we did 40 Days of Purpose a couple of years ago? Remember the pastor's name? Yeah. Well, anyway, as you know, he's written some of these books. And he sold like millions of these books. This book and other books. So that brought in a lot of money. You can imagine. It brought in millions of dollars. But he was talking about, you know, his having to deal with this. He's not had to deal with millions of dollars. He's been a pastor. And all of a sudden he gets millions of dollars coming in. What do I do? And we were all challenged when we heard him say that he wasn't interested in changing his lifestyle, getting a bigger house, fancier cars, and things like that. And a number of things he did, but one of them is what is called reverse tithing. Some of you may not be familiar. Some of you may not be familiar with tithing, much less reverse. So first of all, we got to learn the first way around. The principle of the tithe is, God, 10% of everything you give to me, I'm going to give back to you. 10%. If I get $100 in, God, I want you to have $10. You're first in my life. $10. Now, he has these millions coming in. And he said, God, I want to practice reverse tithing. I want to give you 90%, and I'll just take the 10. That's totally up to him. That was his decision. It was his money to do with what he wanted to. He could keep it. That's fine. But he had a heart that says, you know, what I do with this, what I do with my money, I want to do for the kingdom of God. That's a heart. That's a heart for God. What are you going to do if God blesses you? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's work, an occupation you're praying about, marriage, relationships. Are you willing to share the results? The fourth question, do I believe God will answer? Do I believe God will answer? James 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And then he says, if you need wisdom, basically, ask God. He gives it. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like the waves of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. There's only one kind of prayer that God really answers, and that is the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Hey, when you came to God, when you came to God for salvation, it was because of faith. When you prayed and said, God, save me. I'm a sinner. I know it. I know I've blown it. And my life is a mess. I've sinned. And I need you. That's a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith. Anyone who just comes and says, God, yeah, I'll trust you. Sure, come into my life. You can have me. You're lucky. It's not a prayer of faith, is it? God hears prayers of faith. As a Christian, though, God answers prayers of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11. I honestly believe that if God did answer some of our prayers, some of us would have heart attacks because we're not really expecting God to answer anything. And maybe God doesn't answer your prayer because He doesn't want to kill you. He wants to keep you alive a little longer. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. According to your faith, not according to your ability, according to your education or the kind of personality you are, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And finally, the fifth question that you need to ask yourself, why aren't my prayers being answered? Am I praying in Jesus' name? Am I praying in Jesus' name? John 14, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for me anything in my name, and I will do it. We come through Jesus' name. For a long time, especially as a kid, I didn't know what this meant, praying in Jesus' name. I used to think it was kind of like a code signal. You know, you just pray and you always add on in Jesus' name. You know, you can pray anything you want, but as long as you give the code in Jesus' name, God has to do it. In Jesus' name. I heard a story that illustrates this. A dad took his young son and about 14 or 15 of his friends to the carnival for a birthday party. And he went to the ticket counter and he picked up a whole roll of tickets. And at every ride, he would stand in front of the ride and issue out the tickets to his son and all 14 of his friends and get on the ride. Then they go to the next ride and he issue tickets to the son and all of his friends. And at one ride he went to, he was issuing tickets, and this kid he'd never seen before in his life, this kid he never saw before, comes up and says, "Can I have a ticket too?" He says, "Son, I never met you before." He says, "Yeah, I know, but your son said you'd give me a ticket. Your son said that you would give me a ticket." And he looked over at his son, and his son saying, "Yeah, Dad." So the father gave the boy a ticket. He gave him one. Why? Because it was through his son. The boy got on through his son, through getting to know his son. When we pray in Jesus' name. That is only through Him are we able to pray. We don't deserve to have our prayers answered. It's not a human right to have our prayers answered. God doesn't owe you anything. I come to God, I say, "Father, I'm coming to You because Your Son said I could. I'm coming because of what Jesus Christ has already done for me on the cross, and He's promised, and He said, if I ask in His name, I can ask things of You. I know I don't deserve this, and it's only through Christ I can come in Jesus' name." I'm saying, "God, I realize You don't have any reason to give me this. But I'm coming because of Jesus and what He's already done for me." Is it always necessary then to add on the words "in Jesus' name" on the end of your prayers? Is it always necessary? I don't think it's always necessary. I don't think it's a bad idea, because it is a reminder to us who we're coming through. I don't want it to become a ritual with you where you don't even think about what you're praying. How many of you pray without thinking about it? Honestly. How many of you have ever gone and prayed with your kids at night and you start off saying, "God, I thank You for the food we're about to receive"? Because you're not even thinking about what you're praying. That's a shame. That's a shame. Think about what it is that you are praying. And if you pray in Jesus' name, remember why you're saying that. Because you don't deserve your prayers to be answered, and it's only through Jesus' name that God is able to hear you to begin with. It reminds you why you have the right to pray. So now, in closing, my question to you is, which of these conditions in your life have you been overlooking? Your prayer life hasn't been what it should be. You don't know what it is to have answered prayers. Which of these in your life is what it should be? The first question to ask yourself is, do I have a genuine and honest relationship with God? Not am I religious? Don't come to God with a book of prayers and just recite them. That's not a real relationship. That's like me going to Jennifer everywhere I go and having a book of conversation and saying, oh, hi, Jen, it's good to see you. Oh, you look nice today. What's that? Have a genuine relationship with God. But that genuine relationship starts at the cross. Starts at the cross. Next week is Palm Sunday. And, you know, that's the day that Christ entered into the city and all the people came out to greet Him and welcome Him. It was the week before, the week that He was crucified. He was crucified for you and me. And it's only through the cross. It's only through the cross that we begin a relationship with God. Can't be any other way. Do you have a genuine relationship with God? Christian, do you have a genuine, honest relationship with God? Are you wanting to hear from Him as much as He wants to hear from you? Do you have an honest relationship with Him? Do you have a forgiving attitude to other people? Or are you harboring unforgiveness and anger and bitterness from past events in your life? Lay them down. Forgive from the heart like God has forgiven you. Am I willing to share the results with others? Or am I asking to consume it upon myself? Am I asking out of selfish ambition, selfish reason? God, give me this, give me that. God, give me a new Porsche. Do I believe that God's going to answer? Do I believe that He will answer my prayers when I come to Him, or am I wasting my breath? Am I praying in Jesus' name? I'd like to invite you to stand with me. Again, I want to urge you, Christians, this invitation time is for you. Please do not make a big commotion. I urge you don't think that invitation time is for everybody else. If God is speaking to you, this invitation is for you. If God is not speaking to you, then you need to be in prayer for the people around you, because God is working in hearts and lives. There's people in this very room right now that God is working on. We need to be praying and filling this room up with prayer for them, that God will be able to grab a hold of them, that they'll respond to God. There are people in this room that need to trust the Lord, trust Christ to save them right now. There are people in the room who are hurting, who need to do business with God. And maybe they feel like their prayers have not been answered and they're praying up to the ceiling and it bounces back. And God is doing a work in their lives and hearts. We need to be praying. This room needs to be a room of prayer right now. Would you be praying? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would, please. Let's make this private as much as we can. You know if God is dealing with your heart. You know that. And maybe you came today because you're seeking something. Maybe you don't even know what it is that you're seeking. But I'll tell you what you're seeking. You're seeking life. And it's only the kind of life that God can bring and God can give to you. It's not going to be found in religious activity. It's not going to be found in just attending a church either. I'm sorry. that's only going to be found through you coming to Christ, receiving the forgiveness for blowing it, receiving forgiveness for sin, coming to Him, receiving Him. That's all it's going to be found in. Jesus said He was the water of life. He was the bread of life. If anybody comes to Him, they will never thirst or hunger again. He's the one that fills that void inside, that nagging feeling that there has to be something apart from this. Only He can fill that. I want to ask a question, and I urge you to be honest. And I want to let you know, I'm not going to send anyone to get you. I'm not going to contact you and drag you or anything. All I want you to do is acknowledge between you and God. Do you know that you're a believer, that you're forgiven, that you have eternal life, that you are in Christ, you're born again? Do you know that? Is there anyone here in the room that would be honest enough to say, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that, but I just want your prayers right now. I'm not sure if I am saved, if I am born again, if I have eternal life. I'm not sure. But would you pray for me, Pastor Kim? Not by name, but I will pray that God will show you and work in your heart, that God will continue to draw you. Is there anyone like that? Just quietly slip your hand up. I see that. Amen. And God is good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? I want to also admit that. Amen. Anyone else? Pastor, can you just pray for me too? Put me in that prayer. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm born again and all that stuff that you've been talking about. Just pray for me. I don't know. Anyone else before we pray? Amen. Anyone else? Pray. And after I pray, I urge you to settle this issue in your heart and life. I urge you to step out where you are, meet someone at the front, have a word of prayer with them, talk with them, as long as it takes for you. But settle this before you leave here. Christian, you need to get some things in your life settled too. You have some issues in your life. Some unconfessed sin, some bitterness, unforgiveness. What is it that God is dealing with you about? I urge you to take care of that with Him. Lord in heaven, I thank you for what you're doing in this room. I thank you for touching our lives with your word. It's only through your word. It's not me. But Father, I pray that we will now respond to your word. Let us not leave here today the way we came in. Those who are searching and seeking for you, Lord, don't let them leave without finding that peace inside their heart. Having that assurance inside. And Lord, the Christians who have come today, Lord, don't let them be complacent, passive, willing to sit on the sidelines of life while your best purposes for them go on by day after day. Help them to see what they are missing out on, Lord. I pray that every person in this room would truly have a genuine relationship with you. An authentic, honest one. Not a phony, made-up one. But something only you can bring. But it starts with us, with a willing, submissive spirit to say, God, here I am, not much, but you can have everything, everything I am. In Jesus' name.